Morning. Today's daf in Nida is Nun Dalid. Probably we've gone over this before, and I say probably, I mean definitely, numerous times. It's okay. The more we do it, the more we're going to get comfortable with it. A woman operates on a cycle, 7-11. 7 days of Nida, 11 days of Ziva. 7 days of Nida begin when she starts bleeding. I know that doesn't sound profound, but it is. It's an important statement. A woman becomes Nida when she starts bleeding. So in the event that, let's say historically, she never had any kind of discharge and she bleeds for the first time, she's a Nida. And that means that for the next 7 days, she's going to be a Nida. And those next 7 days, I say next, by the way, I mean the day she bleeds and the following 6 days. So that's called Yemei Nida. And she has the status of a Nida, regardless of whether she discharges for one of those 7 days, seven of those 7 days, it doesn't matter. As long as she started with being a Nida, so that will continue until she gets to the end of 7 days. The 11 days following that is what's called Yemei Ziva. There's no expectation of bleeding during those next 11 days. And if she does in fact discharge blood, she's called the Ezava. She bleeds one of those 11 days, she's a Zava Katana. She bleeds two of those 11 days, she's a Zava Katana. If she bleeds three consecutive days, she's what's called a Zava Gadola. As a Zava Katana, so her remedy to become Tahora is simply Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Meaning she waits the next clean day. So let's say, for example, she bled one day. So she'll wait the next clean day. During that day, she'll tov in the mikvah. That night, she's mutaris to her husband. She bleeds two consecutive days. So the third day now, assuming that she doesn't bleed, she's going to be waiting that day. She'll be toveling in the mikvah. And that night, she'll be mutaris to her husband. Parenthetically, by the way, all this information that I'm providing right now, we never saw the Gemara state this explicitly. And it's a bit of an oddity, but if you've been with us long enough in the Gemara, you know this to be so. We're going to go over this either last or second to last off of the Masechta, where the Gemara over there establishes everything that I'm saying right now as givens when it comes to Nida. After the 11 days, then what? So now we've covered 18 days of her cycle. So now after 11 days, what happens? So Rashi and most Rishonim say that what happens now is nothing, meaning that after her Yemei Ziva, what's her status? Her status is nothing. So when is she going to be Nida again? It's very simple. When she starts bleeding again. So the next time she starts bleeding, she's going to be Nida. And then we continue with the cycle of 7 and 11. Okay, the Rambam, as I've noted already numerous times, but it's important to just refresh. The Rambam takes a really interesting position. It's a difficult position to maintain. Not only just from what we're used to seeing biologically, physiologically, But even within the Gemara, and just learning the Gemara, it's very difficult to learn the Rambam's position. But the Rambam says 7-11 is a fixed cycle, meaning that a typical woman will go through a cycle of 18 days, and then 18 days. And according to the Rambam, when you get to day 19, regardless of whether you're bleeding or not bleeding, you start your Yemei Nida again. That's the Shita of the Rambam. Again, it's a difficult position, but that's his position nevertheless. Okay, we already discussed just yesterday the topic of Bein HaShemashos. Bein HaShemashos, really, it's a really challenging topic. It's 11 days.
Yeah.
The Yemei Ziva just simply means that if she were to discharge during those 11 days, then she would be a Zava. The expectation is that she's not going to be bleeding during those 11 days. Okay, so 11 out of every 18 days. We already talked about Bein HaShemashos yesterday, but just quickly to reiterate. So Bein HaShemashos is that twilight period between day and night where we don't know. We don't know when exactly the day ended. We don't know when the night begins. Or it could be Safek Yom V'Laila. It could be both. It could be day and night. So this twilight period is a state of uncertainty, and therefore she were to discharge during Bein HaShemashos. So we have 2 days in which to choose from in which we can attribute that discharge, either to the day or the night, and we simply don't know. Yesterday we discussed it in much greater detail as we went over the Bein HaShemashos of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi. She did a bedikah during one Bein HaShemashos, not during the other Bein HaShemashos. Admittedly, yesterday was a challenging daf. Today presents itself as a challenging daf. It's not. At least I'm giving an opinion now. It's not a challenging daf. Meaning, once you know all the rules and you're comfortable with all the rules, it's just then a question of plugging in the rules to all the cases that we're going to be given in the course of today's daf. I haven't seen it. Probably a lot of charts. A lot of charts coming up today. It's not that bad. It's just a question of everything I just said and plugging in the rules. Okay, then we're going to come to that. We start with the Mishnah. Haro yom yiral ben eshmashos, tchilas nida v'sof nida, tchilas ziva v'sof ziva. The Mishnah describes a scenario where the woman saw Yom Yod Aleph. So it was the 11th day of Yemei Ziva, but she didn't see during the day of the 11th day, but she saw rather towards the evening. And so now she is on the border of her Yemei Ziva and Yemei Nida. And then she had Aria then. Now what? It's confusing to her. I mean, to us as well, but it's confusing to her now. Because was that bleeding just simply the end of her Yemei Ziva? Was this bleeding now going to be establishing her new Nida? So it's Bein HaShemashos. And the answer, of course, is we don't know. Could be one of the two. And the Mishnah says that it's Tchilas Nida Sof Nida, the beginning of her Nida, the end of her Nida, and Tchilas Ziva Sof Ziva. It's a strange expression. The Gemara is going to clean up the Mishnah's language. To say it simply right now, we don't know. In other words, it could be both. And therefore, what is the result of that? What? So stay tuned. Yomar Baim Lezachar, Yom Shmanim Lanakeva, Bein HaShemashos Lekulan. So let's go over another scenario where it's day 80 after she had a girl. It's day 40 after she had a boy. And again, we've gone over this numerous times. A woman after having had a girl. So she is going to go through a schedule of Yemei Tumah, Yemei Tahara. But altogether, it's 80 days. We're going to call that the Malos. And any bleeding that occurs for the 66 days, the last 66 days of those 80, so that is what's called Dam Tohar. Now, on the 81st day, she's no longer in her Malos. And on the 81st day, if she were to bleed, she'd be a Nida. What happened? Again, same setup. She bled on the eve, on the late evening, the early evening of the 80th day going into the 81st day. And once again, we're back to Suffolk. And the same thing could be said regarding a woman after having had a boy. Her Malos is 40 days. And she bled on the 40th day, going into the 41st day. And once again, it's a question of now Suffolk. Hare elu toos. So the Mishnah says that in all these cases that we just gave, she's a toa. She is mistaken. But mistaken over here, better translated, probably means confused. Meaning, she doesn't know now. She doesn't know how to register this bleeding. That's really important. Because at this point in time now, should this bleeding qualify as Nida? Which means that this now and the next 6 days after that are going to be her Yemei Nida, or no? Maybe this was just simply the conclusion of a Zava, which means that her Nida doesn't start until the next day. And so she's in a state of confusion. This is a woman called a Toha. And now that she lost her cycle of Nida Ziva, now what? So Rashi says over here, we're going to have to go back to Erchin. Go back to Erchin, Dav Ches, and there you're going to go through the entire schedule of how many days does she need to be absent of bleeding in order to reset her schedule. Okay, the Gemara over there, that Gemara over there was a little bit difficult, not so bad. But basically, to say it simply, she's going to have to go non-bleeding for a significant number of days so that in a worst-case scenario, she will be in a position where she can reset herself. What is the worst-case scenario? I refer you to the Gemara in Erechim, where the Gemara goes in detail in terms of it really depends on how many days she actually bled. Okay, but I'm not going to go through the schedule right now. Go back to Erechim. It's funny, by the way. The resetting of a woman who's a Nida to her Nida status is not in the Gemara Nida, it's in the Gemara in Erechim. Okay, but that we've referenced that Gemara numerous times, and so I'm referencing it again. She's a Toa. I'm Rav Yeshua Acha Atem Misaktim Es HaShotos Bal V'tiknu Es HaPikchos. So Rabbi Yeshua says, look, can we go over a better exercise? Meaning, rather than figuring scenarios in which a woman is going to be resolving doubts, how about we go and just deal with simple scenarios where we know exactly when she bled? Meaning, don't introduce Bein HaShemashos into the discussion. And still, Rabbi Yeshua says, there's a lot of thinking to do and figuring out to do. So let's not go over the cases of Toeh. Why don't we go over the cases of Pikchos, meaning women who do know, but still there's going to be a little bit of computation involved. Now, I'm not really following Rabbi Yeshua's point. Why don't we do both? Right? We have brain power. And, you know, assuming we have the energy to do so, why can't we figure out both? So I'm going to be honest. I don't fully understand what Rabbi Yeshua is really objecting to. But, okay. In the meantime, however, Rabbi Yeshua says, let's go over the Pikchos. And most of today's daf, we're going to be talking about the Pikchos, meaning the woman who know exactly when they bled. There's no Bein HaShemashos question. And now it's just a question of computation, which is going to be most of today's daf. The Gemara starts off by just cleaning up the language of the Mishnah. Tchilas nida v'sof nida, tchilas nida v'sof ziva hi. The woman who bled on the 11th day going into the 12th day during that Bein HaShemashos period, the Mishnah's language, it would have been preferable if the Mishnah would have said that it could be either the beginning of her nida or it could be the end of her ziva. That would have been the best way to say it. If you go back to the Mishnah, you look at the Mishnah, The Mishnah uses an unusual language. It's confusing. The Mishnah says Tchilas Nida Sof Nida and Tchilas Ziva Sof Ziva. That doesn't really accurately describe it. What accurately describes it is what the Gemara just said. It is could be the end of a Ziva or the beginning of a Nida. So Amar Rav Chista Hachi Kamar Harawa Yom Yeral Ben Hashemashal Tchilas Nida Sof Ziva. Okay, so Rav Chista says, okay, clean it up. Now Rav Chista is offering an edit change of the Mishnah. I'm always unclear about these Gemaras. Or maybe he's just simply saying this is the right way to understand the Mishnah. In any event, that's how we're going to clean up the language of the Mishnah. Uvishvi l'nidasa, and let's describe the same thing, where the woman bled on day 7, but b'na shmashos of day 7, meaning going into 8. So now that's going to be sof nida utchila ziva. So then that could either be the end of her nida or the beginning of her zava. And again now, because it's b'na shmashos, she now goes into this being a toa. She doesn't know. And he says, and that's the unusual language of the Mishnah. The Mishnah actually is referencing both scenarios. Okay, admittedly, it's a difficult pshat in the Mishnah, because the Mishnah only gives one scenario, and Rav Chista is injecting two scenarios. But okay, he's just working with, let's try to clean up the language of the Mishnah. Bottom of the Amud. Am Rabbi Yeshua, Achetem Esaknim Esashotos, so Hani Shotos Ninu Tos Ninu. Now, Rabbi Yeshua, if you look carefully at the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua describes a woman who don't know a Shotos. That's a pejorative term. And it doesn't accurately describe these women. These women aren't deranged, they're just confused. Okay, big difference. And the, so Hani Shotos Ninu, Tos Ninu. And that's exactly what the Gemara objects to. So Elatini Tos. So the Gemara says, okay, and here I think it's pretty clear the Gemara is advocating an editing of the Mishnah, where you're right. When you learn this Mishnah, remove the word Shota and insert the word Toa. And, you know, one of those things where if Rav Chista is advocating an editing, and it's pretty clear that that's really how the Mishnah should be read, so why don't we go through the process of editing the Mishnah? But to that, I'll say that once the Mishnahs were canonized, that's it. The Mishnahs do not get touched. And if the Mishnahs need, quote-unquote, touch-up, so the Gemara will do it, but not putting a finger on a single word of the Mishnah. D'tanya. And so now, here we go. From this point going forward, and it's going to take us through the remainder, the majority of today's daf, it will take us to the end of the parak. We could say that definitively, which is most of today's daf. So we are going to be going over Pikchos. Women who know. There's no Beina Shmashos. They know exactly what they bled, but they're going through what we would call a strange schedule. And basically what we're going to be doing now for the rest of today's daf is that we're going to go through a woman and we're going to entertain all these very unusual schedules. As far as the system of the upcoming Brisa is concerned, it's a Brisa that we're about to learn. We're going to come in and out of the Brisa. We're mostly going to be quoting the Brisa. And in terms of the organization, it's very simple. We're going to have a woman who's going to be bleeding, not bleeding, alternating. And then we're just simply going to go over various scenarios of one day on, one day off. One day on, one day off. 2 days on, 2 days off. 2 days on, 2 days off. 3 days on, 3 days off, etc., etc. And we're going to go from 1 to 10. Now, of course, it's highly unusual for a woman to have a schedule where she bleeds a day and then recesses. And then a day. And bleeds a day and recesses a day. That's obviously very strange. And in terms of halach lamaisa, so most of these cases, if not all these cases, don't manifest itself under usual circumstances. However, what we get to do in the course of a good part of today's daf is we're going to entertain all these scenarios, plug in the rules that we know, and then just come out with the right answer. So what it really does, it gets us to do is it gets us to exercise the rules that were given to us, see how it plays out, even in these highly unusual scenarios, but it gets us really comfortable with understanding Nida, Zava Katana, Zava Gadola, Shiva Nikim, and how they all interplay one with another. Okay, so let's begin. Yom Echad Tamei V'Yom Echad Tahor. So, Mishamesh Shmini V'Leilo Imo V'Arba Lailis Mitoch Shmona Asa Yom. So, if a woman goes and bleeds, day on, day off, day on, day off. So, on the eighth day and the night before the eighth day, and 4 nights of the 18 days, so she can have relations with her husband. V'im haisa roa mi ba'erev. Now, let's say the bleeding were to start in the evening, not b'nishmashos, but the night before. So Ein Meshameshes El Shmini Bavad. So then she'd only be having relations with her husband on the eve of the eighth day. Now, let's see how all this plays out. And I'm guessing this, you probably are looking at a chart. And a short 7.5 years ago, I wrote myself a chart. My eyesight 7.5 years ago was really good. It's really small. So anyway, but consider now. So on the odd day, she's bleeding. On the even days, she's not bleeding. So that means now that days 1 through 7 doesn't matter. Because days 1 through 7, she's an Ida. And as such, she's going to be an Ida for days 1 through 7. Obviously, she's not with her husband on the first 7 days. She's an Ida. Now day 8. Now in this particular format, in this schedule, so day 8 is an even day, which means it's a non-bleeding day. So she's having relations with her husband on day 8 because day 8 now is post-Nida and she's not bleeding. Obviously, she told them the mikvah on the eve of the 8th and she's with her husband. Okay, now let's go to day 9. So day 9 is an odd day. She's bleeding that day. During her, Yemei Ziva. So therefore, she obviously is not having relations with her husband on day 9. But remember now, what's the consequence of bleeding on during her Yemei Ziva for 1 day? She now is a Zava Katana. What's the next day? Day 10? That's her day of Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, where on day 10, she will be toveling in the mikvah, but she will not be with her husband during day 10. That night, on the eve of the 11th, she's going to be with her husband. So that's now, count that as number 1. And now, day 12, going into day 13. So again, day 11, that's an odd day, she's bleeding. Day 12, that's a Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. The eve of the 13th, she's going to be with her husband. Good. Now, day 13, that's an odd day, she's bleeding. Day 14, Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. The eve of the 15th, she's with her husband. That's already number 3. Okay, day 15, she's bleeding. Day 16, Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. On the eve of the 17th, she's with her husband. Day 17, she's bleeding. And day 18 is her Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. So we covered now the schedule of a woman who went through her 7-Eleven, and in this sequence of day on, day off, she is with her husband on 5 occasions. 1 is going to be day 8, and then 4 evenings as we just outlined. And then the Braisa just simply adds that let's say the bleeding on her odd days starts on the night prior, so that's going to then eliminate her ability to be with her husband on during her Yemei Zivas. And the only time then she could be with her husband is only going to be on day 8. Because day 8, remember, is immediately after Yemei Nida, and day 8 she's not a Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, so only on day 8 she could be with her husband. Okay, that is in a scenario of day on, day off.
1 second. Ziva is for 11 days, Yemei Ziva.
No.
Right?
Ziva is 11 days long.
So.
In those 11 days, there's only 4 days. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just went through it.
14,
I'll tell you what, I just went through it. You can listen again later. you can play back. Okay, I mapped everything out. Okay, shnei yamim tamim v'shnei yamim tahorim. So now we're going to go over a scenario where it's 2 days of bleeding and 2 days of non-bleeding, and we're going to now go in that schedule. And again, it just comes out to now just simply plugging it in. So with 2 days on, 2 days off. So we'll get to the conclusion, and then we'll see how it works out. Meshamesh shmini, v'shnei masar, v'shishar asar, v'esrim. So here, in this scenario, she could be with her husband on day 8, on day 12, and on day 16, and on day 20. Okay. How did that work out? So let's go. So 2 days on, 2 days off. So again, the first 7 days already we know is she's a nida. So there's nothing to speak about. Okay, now, being that she's bleeding she's bleeding 2 days on and 2 days off, so that means for 1 and 2 she was bleeding, for 4 and 5 she was bleeding, and for 1 and 2 she was bleeding, 5 and 6 she was bleeding, and 9 and 10 she's bleeding. So that means day 8 is going to be a non-bleeding day. As a result of that, she could be with her husband, because again, remember, Min HaTorah, she tovels the mikvah after she's a nida. And so that means on day 8, which was a non-bleeding day, she's with her husband. On day 9 and 10, so those are days of Nida. I'm sorry. Those are days of bleeding. They're Ziva. And so therefore 9 and 10 is going to be where she cannot be with her husband. Now, what about day 11? Oh, so day 11, she's shemar yom kenegi yom. So she can't be with her husband. She'll tov in the mikveh that day, but she's only b'teres to her husband that night. Right. Now, on day 12, she wasn't bleeding. So on day 12, she wasn't bleeding, so she can be with her husband on day 12. Then, 13, 14, she's bleeding. 15, she's shemar yom kenegi yom. So, and 16, she's with her husband. Okay. Days 17, 18, she's bleeding. Now, day 19 and day 20, she's not bleeding. So day 19 and day 20, she's not bleeding, so she can be with her husband. Now, the Brisa says that she can be with her husband on day 20. Okay. Now, as we just went through the schedule, everything checks, with notable exception of, what about day 19? What about day 19? So day 19 is an interesting day because, well, I'll speak it out, and then we'll see it inside in the Gemara. Day 19 is an interesting day because she did bleed on days 17 and 18. But that's the end of her Yemei Ziva. Her Yemei Ziva ends on day 18. So what is day 19? So again, let's say it like Rashi and like most Rishonim. Day 19 is a day where she could become a Nida, but that's of course only if she discharges. If she doesn't discharge, she won't be a Nida.
Right.
So day 19 now is a day in which she's not a Nida, but she could be. Can she be with her husband? Presumably the answer is yes. But that's not what the Brisa says. The Brisa says that she's only with her husband on days 8, 12, 16, and 20. Day 19 is not mentioned in the Brisa. And obviously the Brisa did that intentionally. And that now prompts the Gemara to ask the obvious question. So here's where the Gemara now exits the Brisa, because the Gemara now has a very good question. And so we're going to exit the Brisa, we're going to answer the question, then we're going to go back to the Brisa. A standard format, by the way, in terms of how the Gemara treats a Brisa, attacks a Brisa. So good. So let her have relations with her husband on day 19. What's wrong with day 19? So I'm Rav Shesha, Zosamer, Gargaran. Did none? Usser. So Rav Shesha says, oh, so you know what? We're going to learn Halacha together. And we're going to learn something that we're only going to see later in the Masechta. This is coming up on Daf Ayin Beis, towards the end of the Masechta. And the Mishnah later on tells us that a man who is with his wife on day 19, the Mishnah describes such a man as a gargaran, gluttonous, impatient, unable to wait. Okay. In other words, certainly descriptions, not pleasant descriptions of the man's character traits. But when the Mishnah says gargaran, does the Mishnah just simply saying that as far as Midos is concerned, he's got to work on himself? Or is the Mishnah saying it's more than that? Well, our Gemara comments now, based on the fact that our Mishnah says, or our Brisa says, that she should not be with her husband on day 19, oh, so you know what gargaran must mean? Gargaran must mean more than just simply it's a lack of midos and it's a lack of and it's a lack of patience and he's gluttonous and he can't resist his yetzahara. It must mean more than that. It must mean usser, that it would be prohibited for a man to be with his wife on day 19. Now why? Well, the reason why is because it's true if she doesn't become a Nida, she's not a Nida, but it's also true that there is a good chance that she's going to start her Nida anew, meaning at least it's a possibility. And again, I don't know the patterns of menstrual cycles back then, you know, as we know now statistically, but it's a real possibility. And therefore, a husband should not be with his wife on day 19. In general, even if she's not bleeding.
16 and 18, she's old. 17, 18, she's old.
Yeah.
So shouldn't that be Shomer's Yom Kenegad Yom? She's losing the Yom and Mutar
Malayim? No, Shomer's Yom Kenegad Yom is only for her Yemei Ziva. Her Yemei Ziva is only from day 9 through day 18.
So she's old 7 and 18.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Let me just correct myself. From day 8 to day 18.
Yeah, she saw the 18th.
Good.
So the 19th day should be...
It's not her Yemei Ziva.
But she could be a Shomeres Yom.
It's not her Yemei Ziva. I'm gonna say the same thing.
I mean, what does that
mean? You're not gonna get something new out of me.
Well, if she saw the 18th, how should she become taught? She does not see Nida.
Huh?
She saw one day, the 18th, and she does not see Nida.
Right. So as long as she is not a Zava Gadola, that's it.
So the 19th would be the Shemeres Yom, the clean day that she has to wait.
She is not in her Yemei Ziva anymore.
But she's not seeing now.
Yeah, right.
For the 18 days, she needs a clean day.
That's during her Yemei Ziva.
So how does she be able to Matar from the 18 days?
She'll tov in the mikvah.
When?
Maybe on the night of the 19th, on the eve of the 19th. Could be. Could be.
The 19th day cannot be the Shemar.
There's no Shemar Yom Keneged Yom.
Even though she saw the Yemei Ziva.
Correct. Because it can't lead to Zava Gedolma. Right. Okay, come to me after. Okay. Rav Ashi Amar Nehi Dechadasar Lo Bai Shimur Asiri Miya Bai Shimur. So, Rav Ashi says, no, we don't have to say that. Meaning, you're suggesting that day 19 is a function of Gargaron. And now we're a new understanding of Gargaron. Rav Ashi says, not necessarily. In other words, Gargaron could just simply be a demonstration of his poor character trait and his impatience. But as far as the Gemara over here is concerned, the Nehi Dechadasar Lo Bai Shimur, Asira Miya Bai Shimur, meaning she did need Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, but not for day 11, because day 11 is the last day of her Yemei Ziva, but for day 10, meaning she did bleed on day 10, and for that she's going to need Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Now, 11 didn't qualify, obviously, because she bled on day 11. So she's still going to need a Shomer Yom Keneged Yom for the bleeding that occurred on day 10. And so what day 12 is, or in our scenario, day 12 and day 19 are the same, because we're just looking at it from either the beginning of her Nida or the beginning of her Ziva. So day 19 now is a Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, but not for the bleeding that occurred on day 18, but rather for the bleeding that occurred on day 17. Adkan, that takes us now to the end of 2. And now we're just going to keep going. And we're back to the Braisa, and we're just going to keep going ahead now, 3. Now, everyone understands now, with a schedule of 3 on 3 off, so we're introducing a new component. And that, of course, is that with 3 consecutive bleeding days during her Yemei Ziva, she's now going to be a Zava Gedola. So now, it's obviously going to be, it's what we saw up until now, it's going to be a new, it's going to be a new schedule. So, Shloshi Yamim Tamein V'Shloshi Yamim Tahorim Meshamesh Shnei Yamim V'Shuv Eina Meshamesh La'olam. So, 2 days she's going to be with her husband, and never again, if she continues with the cycle. So, never again, why? So, here, let's think this through. 3 on, 3 off, so again, the first 7 days, she's an Ida. So, that's first 3 days, bleeding. Second 3 days, no bleeding, but again, she's an Ida. And then, she starts her bleeding, again, on day number 7. Fine. Now, after day number 7, so what? She bled on day 7. And then on day 8 and day 9, she bled again. So now, what about day 10? So day number 10, she's a Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. What about 11 and 12? She could be with her husband. And that's it. Because now, 13, 14, 15, when she bleeds on those 3 consecutive days, she's now going to be a Zava Gedola. She's going to need Shiva Nekiyim. But based on the schedule of 3 on, 3 off, she'll never successfully count her Shiva Nekiyim. And so therefore, she will be Usper to her husband forever. Okay. And then what becomes of their marriage? Okay. It's not good. Arba Yamim, Tamein V'Arba Yamim Tahorim. 4 days on, 4 days off. Mishameshes Yom Echa V'Shuv Eina Mishameshes La'olam. So here, they're only going to be able to be with each other for 1 day, and that's it. And again, just to illustrate. So for 4 days of bleeding during her Yemei Nida, and then the next 4 days of bleeding. So, I'm sorry, 4 days of not bleeding, sorry. So, of those, 3 of them are her Yemei Nida. So, obviously, they don't count. Now, what about that 4th day of the 2nd set? So, she can be with her husband because she is no longer Nida and she's not bleeding. Now, from that point going forward, she's in trouble because then the next 4 days she's bleeding. Obviously, of those 4 days, 3 of them are her Yemei Ziva. Actually, all 4 of them are Yemei Ziva, but 3 of them already made her into a Zava Gedola. And now she's going to need to count Shiva Nekiyim, but she will be unable to do so based on the schedule of 4 days of bleeding, 4 days of non-bleeding. Chamisha yamim tamein v'chamisha yamim tahorim. Now let's go 5 and 5. Mishameshes shloshi yamim v'shuv ein mishameshes la'olam. So she could be with her husband for 3 days, and that will be it. And again, over here, just plug it in. It works. So for 5 days of bleeding and then 5 off days of bleeding, so that means 5 and 2 are her Yemei Nida. The next 3 days of non-bleeding, she is going to be with her husband, but that will be it. Because the next 5 days of bleeding will make her Zava Gedola. She'll have to count Shiva Nekiyim, but because she's on a schedule of 5 and 5, she'll be incapable to do so.
So and she is Zava Gedola for the rest of her life.
Correct.
So this doesn't hold by Rambam that holds that.
Correct. Already pointed out. Correct. That's fine. It's fine. Huh? Well, until she changes her schedule. Yeah. Right. If she has a schedule change, then she'll be good. Shishi yamim tamim v'shishi yamim taharim. So 6 days of bleeding, 6 days non-bleeding, and she loops in that cycle. So meshameshes chamisha yamim v'shavein meshameshes olam. So then she could be with her husband for 5 days, but that's it. And here it's the same story. It's just that she gets an additional day with her husband, but that's it. Shiva yamim tamim v'shiva yamim taharim. Okay. So now, once again, we can put a bookmark over here, because now that her schedule is on 7 and 7, 7 days on, 7 days off, so now here there's going to be a way of resolving her Zava Gadola. She will become a Zava Gadola, but because she goes through 7 days of non-bleeding, she will actually be able to count Shiva Nikiyim. Mm-hmm. So here now it's going to be different. So Shiva Yamin Tamei, Shiva Yamin Taharim, Mishameshes, Revia Yameh, Mito Chav Ches Yamin. So in a 28-day cycle, meaning four loops of on-off, so she could be with her husband a quarter of those days. Okay, and over here, it's actually very straightforward. Because consider, the first week of bleeding, she's Anida. The second week of non-bleeding, she's with her husband. That's 7 days of with her husband. The next 7 days of bleeding, she is going to be a Zava Gadola. Because of the next 7 days of bleeding, the first three are during her Yemei Ziva, qualifies her as Zava Gadola. And now she's going to have to count Shiv Nikim, but she can't count her Shiv Nikim until she stops bleeding. Meaning it's going to be the fourth round of non-bleeding that's going to be the counting of her Shiv Nikim. Then when she bleeds again, then the fifth round, so when she bleeds again, she's going to be a Nidah. So, and we loop in that cycle, and you see that she could be with her husband of 28 days. She could be 7 days with her husband. Shmoni Yamin Tameim, Shmoni Yamin Taharim. 8 days of bleeding, 8 days of non-bleeding. So Meshameshes Chamisha Asayom Mitoch Arba'im Vishmona. So here we're going to do a series of, we're going to go 48 days. So eight, so we're going to do four rounds of it. On, off. And of those, Chamisha Asayom, 15 days she could be with her husband. 15 days she could be with her husband. So again, consider. The woman, now let's go with the first round of on. So of those 8 days, seven of them are Nida. And then the eighth day is in her Yemei Ziva. But it's only 1 day during her Yemei Ziva. She's a Zava Katana. Fine. So now, she's going to go 8 days of non-bleeding. 8 days of non-bleeding. So the first day she can't be with her husband because she is a Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. And now, she is going to be with her husband now for 7 days. So that's 7 days of the first 16 that she could be with her husband. Right. Then, she's going to bleed again. But here, consider. When is she bleeding again? So that's, we're now in the third round. So in the third round, she's going to be bleeding on day 17 and 18. Okay. Now, 17 and 18 is the conclusion of her Yemei Ziva. That's it. Meaning, she's not going to become a Zava Gadola. Even though she's also going to bleed on day 19, but day 19 is the first day of her next round of 7-11. So that means now that she is only a Zava Gadola. Sorry. She was only a Zava Katana. Then that third round. So in that third round, it will be 2 days of Zava Katana, and then followed then by another 6 days of bleeding, but six of the 7 days of her being a Nida. Fine. Then she'll go into round number four of non-bleeding. Now, if you're following the calendar well, and if you're following me on a chart, so then you'll see that she's not allowed to be with her husband on the first day of non-bleeding, because that first day of non-bleeding was during her Shiva Yemei Nida. And so therefore, it's only going to be 7 of those 8 days where she could be with her husband. So that's now 14 days. Now, right, no. The answer is no. It goes back to your question before, but the answer is no. Okay, so that's now 14 days. There's got to be one more day, because the Braisa told us. There's one more day. So now, it's very simple. You just have to find one more day. So where do we find it? So, round one she bled. Round two, she didn't bleed. Round three, she bled. Round four, she didn't bleed. Okay, and we covered 14 of those days already. Now, round five. So round five, she's bleeding. And then, round six, she's not bleeding. In round six, where she's not bleeding, so she is... in round six, where she's not bleeding, so the 7 days, she's at this point in time already Zava Gadola. Sorry, I didn't make this clear. In round one, two, three, four, five. In round five, of those 8 days that she bled, three of them were during her Yemei Ziva. So now she's a Zava Gadola. So now the next 8 days of non-bleeding, that's round six. So now 7 days are Shiva Nekiyim. And so the last day is where she could be with her husband. That's day 48. That's the 15 days. So Hare Arba Sahavu. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? 15, isn't it 14? So the Gemara, Amar of Adar Bar Yitzchak Zosameris, you may need Dasa She'en Roa Behen, Ola L'Sfiras Ziva Sa. So the Gemara had an assumption, meaning I took us to the conclusion of the Gemara. The Gemara thought for a moment that in that sixth round, she can't count those days of Shiva Nekiyim. Why? The Gemara thought for a moment that because those days are days in which she could have become a Nida, so therefore they don't count towards her Shiva Nekiyim. You can't count Shiva Nekiyim if those days could have counted as other types of days. That's the Havamin of the Gemara. But the Gemara immediately is going to dispel that. The Gemara is going to just simply reject that Havamina. The Ibailahu, the Gemara now, as we turn to the Yamud Beis, is going to point out, we ask the following question. We asked this question already earlier in the Masechta. Yemei Leida, where she wasn't a Roa, where she didn't see. And let's say she went into the birth being a Zava Gadola. And you remember earlier in the Masechta, we went through numerous scenarios in which a woman gave birth being a Zava Gadola. So now she has to count Shiva Nekiyim. Can she count her Shiva Nekiyim if, let's say, immediately after pregnancy, she doesn't bleed? Which, again, I know is unlikely, but if she didn't bleed, and during her postpartum, can she count that as Shiva Nekiyim? We asked the question, but we also gave a very definitive answer. The answer is yes. She can count those days as Shiva Nekiyim. You may later shayna roa behem ma'u shi'alu l'sfir zivasa. I'm Rav Kana Tashma. So Rav Kana says, let's see. Rasa shnaim l'shlishi hipila ve'ini yoda'as imipila. Hareis es safik ziva, safik leida. So a scenario in which she bled 2 days before she delivered, and then on day three she delivered, but quite frankly, she's not sure what came out. And so it's an unusual scenario, but the point the Gemara is making is that now we open up a Pandora's box of possibilities. It could be that third day was just simply more blood coming out, which means that she's a Zava Gadola. It could mean that on day three, it was an actual baby, which means that Ziva bleeding is not Ziva bleeding. So there's a number of possibilities. So Suffolk Ziva, Suffolk Leida, Mivia Carbon Veino Necha. And so she'll bring a carbon for the birth that she may have had. The carbon is not going to be eaten. We've gone over this numerous times. V'yemei Leida Sa, She'en Roa Behen, Ola Sfir Ziva Sa. And the Yemei Leida in which she did not see any bleeding, she can count that towards her Shiva Nekiyim. That's the Braisa. And Amra Papa Shani Hasam Kevin de Ikala Mamma Yola Zachar Hiv Khani Shiva Yesei Rasadika Vinala Sakila Lasfira Zivasa. The Gemara tries to push back. Well, maybe that scenario is talking about a case where the possibility is that she had a boy, which means that she's not counting her first week postpartum, because that's the Tumas Leida of having a boy. And then maybe it's the second week that she's counting as Shiva Nekiyim, assuming of course she doesn't bleed during that second week. So Amalei Rav Huna Bereder Rav Shula Rav Papa Biyolez Zachar Ikalas Fuke Biyolez Nekeva Lekalas Fuke. We don't know what came out of her, and so yes, yeah, possible that a boy came out. It's also possible that a girl came out. In other words, you can't just simply assume that it was a boy; could have been a girl, and so therefore she had 2 weeks of possibly being Tumas Leida. And yet the Braisa says that if she's not bleeding during those 2 weeks, 7 consecutive days, they count her Shiva Nekiyim. Allah Shmamina Olin Shmamina. So the Gemara says so we're right. So in other words, so those days, if they're not bleeding, if she's not bleeding, can be counted to her Shiva Nekiyim. And now going back to our discussion, so this woman who's eight on, eight off, so it's true she becomes a Zava Gadola. That's fine. But for that sixth round of her being that sixth round of 8 days of her not bleeding, so Shiva then will be Shiva Nekiyim. And I know it's possible for her to become a Nida during those days, but it doesn't matter. As long as she's not bleeding, they count towards Shiva Nekiyim. Much like we just got done concluding that when a woman is during her Yemei Leida and she's not bleeding, they can count towards Shiva Nekiyim. So fine. So we are good. Meaning, so the Braisa is correct, or better stated, we understand the Braisa, that the 7 days of round two and 7 days of round three of round four of her non-bleeding days, and the last day of her sixth round, So on those days she could be with her husband. Those are the 15 of the 48. Okay, we're almost done. We are now up to the numbers 9 and 10. Tisha yamim tamim, tisha yamim taharim, mishamesha shmoni yamim mitoch shmona asar. So in a pattern of 9 on, 9 off, 9 on, 9 off. So she is, she could be with her husband 8 days in 18. Meaning, so this is really simple because with a 9-day, with a pattern of 9 and 9, so she's going to be now just simply resetting her nida on round number 3. And resetting her nida on round number 5, etc., etc. And now it's just a question of figuring out how many days she could be with her husband of those 18 days. And the answer is, 8 days. And again, it makes sense. It makes sense. Meaning, just plug it in. 7 days of her round 1, obviously she's an Ida. Now she's going to have 2 more days of bleeding. But 2 more days of bleeding during her Meziva, that's just simply a Zavakatana. Now, that's days 8 and 9. Day number 10, she Yushomeres Yom Keneged Yom. That's fine. And then the remainder of her Yemei Ziva, where she's not bleeding, she's with her husband. Okay, 8 days of the 18 days. Asar yamim tamim v'asar yamim taharim, yemei shimushak yemei zivasa. So in a pattern of 10 and 10, so the amount of days that she could be with her husband will be equal to the number of days that she's going to be a Zava. V'chein l'meya v'chein l'alef. And at this point in time now, this formula will work for any number that exceeds the number 10. And again, same idea. Just plug it in, and you'll see that the number of days of her being with her husband will equal the number of days that she's going to be a Zava. Hadron lach basiman, and that is the end of the sixth parak of our Masechta. Okay, it's a good question. I addressed that also earlier as well. It's just to say it again simply, it's to familiarize ourselves with the ideas and the rules, and giving us the opportunity to plug it into all these scenarios, just so that we are more comfortable with all the rules that are given. And so that we know the interplay between a Zav Gadola, Zav Katana, Anida, when can she count Shivan Akiyam, etc., etc. Okay. We are in the new parak, we're in Nundal Amid Beis at the new parak, and let's begin. A woman who discharges blood is Anida. I think at this point in time, we know that. But our parak over here is going to be focusing on not her, but the blood that comes out. The blood that comes out is also going to be an avatoma, which, you know, if I can try to make sense of it, I mean, but makes sense. It's going to cause her, the woman who discharges, to be an Ida. So the actual issue itself, the discharge itself, is also going to be an avatoma. Although, to be fair, we already pointed out that there are differences between just a simple re'ia for the woman becoming an Ida versus the dam being an Ida. We're going to highlight those differences again. When it comes to the dam being a source of tuma, there has to be a shear of dam. It has to be a requisite amount. We're going to go over these ideas over here. But we're going to be focusing on the actual discharge itself as being an avatoma. Dam anida, basar ames, mitamim lachim, umitamim yaveshim. Blood of anida and flesh of a corpse is going to be a source of tuma, whether it's in a moist state or whether it's in a dry state. Aval, however, hazov, when it comes to the discharge of zav, or ha'nea, or the mucus, the phlegm that comes out of a zav, the harok, or the spit that comes out of a zav, ha'sheretz, v'ha'nevela, v'ha'shich v'zera, or the avatum of sheretz, or the avatum of nevela, an animal that was not shechted, died without a shechita, or shich v'zera, or the avatum of a semen, so they're going to give off tuma, but only in a state of being moist, but not dry. Now, obviously, when we say moist and dry, by the way, a lot of these things that we described are solids, meaning a sheretz. Sheretz, obviously, is a solid item. But in other words, it has to be moist. In other words, it can't be bone dry. Once it's bone dry, so it's not going to be an avatuma. Now, if they can be rehydrated in any of these scenarios, if there is a possibility where it's dry, but if we just, you know, if we freshen them up a little bit, you know, put a little bit of liquid on, and they rehydrate. So so it's metame lach v'yavish. V'kami shriyasam b'poshrim, eis leis. Now, exactly what does that mean, rehydrating? What exactly is the process? Warm water, 24 hours, and that, and if it responds to that and rehydrates, so then it's going to be an avatuma.
But you don't have to rehydrate.
Huh? Oh, you don't, right. I agree. You don't have to rehydrate it, but as long as it potentially could become, it could rehydrate, right. So then it would be good. So then it would be good. Good over here meaning an avatuma. So I take out the word good. It would be an avatuma. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Basar HaMetz Yavesh V'Ene Yechola HaShros V'Lachzor L'Chmosh Ha'ayah Tahor. Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that remains of a human that's dry and can't rehydrate, so it's going to be tahor, it's no longer going to be an avatuma. Okay, much to discuss over here in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to, we're going to run through the Gemara over here, giving us sourcing for many of these halachas. So the flow that comes out of her is going to be like her. So just like she is tame, so too is the flow. Fine. So, but the Torah describes it as a flow, meaning it's coming out in a liquid state. We learned in our Mishnah that even if it's in a solid state. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Kra, Yiyeh Be'aviyaso Yehei. So the Torah, when describing the flow, says Yihiyeh. So in its state, meaning whatever state it comes out in. Ve'ema hani mili be'lach v'nasi yavish. Yavish mekar minalan. So the Gemara says, okay, but if I just had the drasha, I would suggest that the discharge that comes out is going to be an avatama, only when it comes out moist, as far liquid. As far as the drasha is concerned, I would say that maybe the drasha is entertaining the idea, came out in liquid form, and then it solidified. But our Mishnah is saying more than that. Our Mishnah is saying that even if it came out as a solid, it's going to be tamei, and you haven't given me a source for that. So, minalan. And the Gemara says, remember the Mishnah that we learned earlier in the Masechta? The Mishnah taught us that if she discharges something which is hard, and we can identify it being a blood, i.e. we put it in a liquid, and it dissolves, and you see now that it was really blood that solidified, so it's going to be tamei. And again, how do I know that when it comes out in solid form, it's going to be tamei? So yiyeh ribuyehu, so the word yiyeh is more than just a teaching us an additional point, it's a ribuy. It amplifies. It tells us that when the blood comes out of her in any state, it's going to be an avatuma. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're telling me that the source of the dam itself being tameh is because of we're deriving it from the pasuk describing her tuma and extending it to the, not only her being tameh, but even the dam discharges out itself being tameh. The Gemara says, that's good, but then let the blood have all the characteristics that she has. When she's anida, so she is now going to give off Tumas Mishka V'Moshav. Exclusive. It's not totally exclusive. Zav Zava Nida Yoledes. But the, no, I can still say it. The exclusive Tuma of when she sits on an item, the item is going to be Tame to the same degree that she's Tame, i.e. the chair that she sits on is going to be an Avatuma. So if the source in the Torah of the Dam itself being Tame is a Ribui based on her, so let's say that the blood should have the same degree of trauma that she has. So Atu Dama Bar Mishka V'Moshav Hu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the blood's not sitting on a chair. Meaning you can't give that characteristic to the blood because that's just simply a human function of sitting on a chair. And you're really going to describe blood that way? So the Gemara says, Ela Tamecha V'Menugas Bas Mishka V'Moshavi De'itzur Krala Me'ute. So the Gemara says, okay, but inanimate objects giving them human halachic characteristics. That's not crazy. And what the Gemara is going to do is demonstrate another area in halacha where it's an inanimate object, a stone from a tzara's house, where the conclusion is going to be that it doesn't have human halachic characteristics, but we're going to entertain it. We're going to entertain it, in fact, so much that we're going to need a pasuk to exclude it. But your question of how can you call blood on a chair, sitting on the chair? And what the Gemara is going to say is, no, that's not crazy. We could do that. Okay, and Avatuma. It's the source of Tuma. Okay, and we'll stop over here, and tomorrow we'll pick it up, even though we're mid-sentence. But we'll pick it up tomorrow, so let's quickly recap. Today we went over the Sfeikos, the Toas, the women who are in a state of confusion because they bled on the border of Yemei Ziva, Yemei Nida, on either side of the border. And as a result of that, they don't know whether this was Dam Nida, Dam Ziva came out. She's a Toa. What's the resolution? Go back to Erchin. Daf Ches and Erchin gives us a detailed list of what a resolution would be. Rabbi Yeshua said, before going over the confusing scenarios, why don't we go over the straightforward scenarios? Rabbi Yeshua was making reference to the Braisa, and so what we did for most of our day today is we went over the Braisa of women who know exactly when they bled, but have unusual patterns. One day on, one day off. 2 day on, 2 day off. And we covered patterns 1 through 10. And we talked about what would happen to this woman who had patterns 1 through 10. What exactly would the result be? And that covered the until the end of the perek. Beginning of the new perek, we talked about the actual discharge itself, being an avatoma. When it comes to Nida and Thomas Mace, it's metame lach v'yavesh. Even if it comes out in a solid state, it's going to be an avatoma. How do we know that? The Gemara gave a drasha. And now we're in mid-sentence. How do we know that it's also not going to be subject to Mishkav v'moshav? And we'll finish that sentence tomorrow.